Chesamid Beis, all the way at the bottom, the last few words.
Amar
Rabbi Lazar said, if a guy lives with his wife after he gets married, and then he comes and says, I found that she had an open entrance, meaning she's not a virgin, and therefore he's saying that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the time of the wedding. That's what he's saying. So the din is, Naman al-Aisra Allah, he's believed to forbid the woman for him. Because if the woman committed adultery from the Kedushin until the wedding, she was Mizana as an Ashishish, so then the din is that he's believed that she can't be married
to him.
What's
the benefit to him?
Nothing. The Gemara says, that's what he says. Okay? And Rashi says he's not coming along to say it's a mistake, that there was no blood and all that. Rashi says he's from a family that doesn't bleed. Whatever. The question over here is, the guy says she committed adultery. That's what he's dining.
How did they know it was then and not before then?
That's what he's saying. But he's saying, as we'll soon see...
Rabbi, I have a question for you.
1 minute.
How did we get all the way to AB4 when we're still on 5?
No. Okay. Now, he's believed... Why? Because he says a person is believed, what's called, and this again, we learned this last time, I see we need to learn it again. Shavya anaf shechaticha de isura. A person has a right to make upon himself something which is not forbidden. In other words, we don't know when this woman committed adultery. Maybe it wasn't adultery, and maybe she could stay married to him. But the fact that he's saying that she's usher to him makes him believe that she cannot stay married to him, but like Rashi says, but not to lose the ksuba. In other words, a woman who commits adultery automatically loses the ksuba. So he's not believed that she taka was mizana, that she should lose the ksuba, because he does no proof for it. He's assuming that it happened. But the fact that he's saying that she committed znus after the time of the Kedushin, so it's what's called Shavya Nafshe, he places upon himself Chaticha de Isura, a piece of something which is forbidden. Just like when you make a vow. A guy makes a vow, I'm not going to eat this meat. Meat is kosher. He places himself, the ability, he has the right, the right to place something which is permissible to make something forbidden.
It seems that from Rosh Hashanah and Gomorrah, it's a benefit to him. If he can, it says, Neeman.
It's a marital obligation, though. According to Torah, it's a marital obligation to the woman.
He's believed that she's forbidden. Okay? See, now, there's no way you can prove it. But like Rashi says, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura, and that's the read. Okay, let's continue. We learned this already. So the Gemara says, Vamai, but why? Why should it be forbidden? The Gemara says, Svek Svek, it's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? Number one, Safik Tachtov, Safik Ein Tachtov. Maybe it was after the Kedushin, maybe it was before the Kedushin. And Imtim Tzuleima Tachtov, even if you want to say that she committed adultery while they were married, meaning after the Kedushin, Savag Ba'ina Savag Beratzen, maybe it was done forcibly, maybe God forbid she was raped. So then again it would be allowed. So the Gemara's question is, okay, and this is what we learned 3 weeks ago. The Gemara's question is, why is this woman forbidden for him? Number one, L'chair is a double doubt. Number one, maybe it was before the Kedushin, maybe after the Kedushin. 50-50. And even if it's after the Kedushin, maybe she was raped. How do you know she did it willingly? So the Gemara answers, Leitzricha Be'eshes Kayin. It's speaking by the wife of a Kayin. Now we learned already that the wife of a Kayin who was, God forbid, raped, even if it was Einis, cannot stay married to the Kayin. An Eishes Ish, or Eishes Levi, a Yisrael or a Levi, that God forbid the wife, again, if the wife willingly committed adultery, she can't stay married to the husband, she can't marry the guy she was with. Right? But if she was Mizana, it's also Lebala Sura Lebel. What happens if it's a Kohen? I'm sorry, what happens if she was raped, God forbid? So a woman who was raped can stay married to her husband. Unless, if the husband's a Kohen. If it's a Kohen, then she's called a Zaina. She had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry because she's an Ashes Ish. So then the din is, even an Ashes Kohen, even if she was forced. So therefore the Gemara answers like this. You're right. If Rabbi Lazar's case would be by a regular case, it wouldn't be usher to him. Why? Because it's a double doubt. Maybe it was done before the Kedushin, and even if it was done after the Kedushin, maybe she was raped. Right? So my answer is no, it's speaking of the wife of a Kohen, so there's only one doubt. What's the doubt? Was it before the Kedushin? Was it after the Kedushin? Okay? Because if it's after the Kedushin, even if she was raped, God forbid, she still lost to the Kohen. Okay, V'boi Seymar, another answer the Gemara says, it's speaking by Eishes Yisroel. Tessam and Aleph. Or Kagain, what's the case? Kagain, the Kibel Bavo, Kedushim, Chusimi, Bashalashon of Yimechot. It's speaking, the father accepted Kedushim for this girl when she was under 3. Now, we learned last time that if the father accepts Kedushim for his daughter, even under 3, she's Mekudeshes. Right? So what happened over here? It's definitely after the Kedushin. Why? Because the din is like this. Like we learned last time. A girl under three, that has relations, it's like worthless. It's not, the psulim come back, it's not, there's no bia. There's no intimacy of a girl under 3. But what happens if the father was Makabel Kedushin for the girl under 3, and now the husband comes along and he says, Pesach Pesach Matzasi, that means she's not a Psula, so then it had to be after the Kedushin. So then it's not a double doubt anymore, because it's definitely it was done after the Kedushin. So in other words, the Gemara is saying, L'poyel, look, Rabbi Lazar's din, that if a guy says Pesach Pesach Matzasi, he's believed that she's also to stay married, not for the Ksuba. The Ksuba, Luis Rashi says, she doesn't lose. But the fact that he's not going to be able to live with her is only when there's a single doubt. Otherwise, it's a sex fake. So you have either a case of Eishes Kohen, then it's only a Shaila, was it before the Kedushin, after the Kedushin? Mm-hmm. Or a girl that the father accepted Kedushin under the age of... By the way, I don't know where you're dreaming. You have the rock in the wrong place. We learned this 3 weeks ago. This is where we're up to.
When the assistant of Rabbi showed up at the guys, because the kid died, and he gave blessings that was so bad, that people were saying, that was the last thing we did. That was an eight.
Sanhedrin. This is what we learned 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Okay, so now the Gemara asks, this is what we learned.
Fine, whatever.
Then it's not Eishes Ish, it's not Znus.
Well, it is Znus, but it's Besula comes back.
Yeah, so therefore, when he says Pesach Pesach Matzasi, it was definitely after the Kedushin. That's right. So now he says Pesach Matzuch. So the question is, if it before the Kedushin, after the Kedushin. But if the father is Mekabel Kedushin for under 3, then for sure it's after the Kedushin. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Maika Mashmalim, what's the Chiddush of Rabbi Lazar? Tanina, we learned it in the Braisa. What's the din in the Braisa? By the way, last time we went into the whole question of Svek Sveika, why is Svek Sveika, is it Rav, is it, what, all these things we discussed last time. Okay, this is where we're up to, by the way. So the Gemara asks now, Maika Mashmalim, what's the Chiddush of Rabbi Lazar? That a person is believed that if he forbids the woman that he can't stay married to her, Tanin is clearly in a brais. Why? If a man says to a woman, this we also learn by the way, Kidashti. A man, Reuven comes over to Leah and says, hey Leah, guess what? I did Kedushin with you. And she says, you never did it to me. What are you talking about, Chaynik? I never did Kedushin with you. Okay? So what's the din? He muteris bekrevav, she can marry his relatives, but who also bekrevisal, he cannot marry her relatives. Because he says, I did kedushin with you. Once you marry a woman, her sister you can't marry, her mother you can't marry, her whatever, all the relatives you can't marry. So if the man says, I did kedushin with you, and the girl denies it, okay, and there's no proof, so he, again, the same reason, shavya nafshi chaticha diyisura. By him saying, I did kedushin with you, he basically is saying, I am forbidding upon myself all your relatives. So it doesn't even matter if it's true or not. But he's making it like a vow. By him saying, I did kedushin with you, what's he basically saying? All your relatives, I can't stay, I can't marry. She denies the kedushin, and there's no proof that there was kedushin, so she can marry his relatives. She can marry his brother, she can marry his father, she can marry his son, because she's not bound by what he said. So the Gemara's question is, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar? That he's believed to forbid a woman upon himself. That says already in a braisa, that if a guy can forbid a woman upon himself, what's Rabbi Elazar teaching? So the Gemara answers like
Rabbi,
this.
Why doesn't it work both ways? It's
because she says, I never married you.
Okay. This something is not right. I mean, if he is also for, you know, to get married to the mother and
no,
the sister, so automatically you would think that she would be also, maybe she's not married, but she would be also.
Why would she be also for his relatives? Why? Why? She never said, I married you.
Because that shows that he's some sort of marriage.
One second. If a guy says this piece of meat is treif, yeah? Is it forbidden for his wife to eat? If a guy comes along and says, I make a neder that this piece of meat I'm not allowed to eat, can his wife eat it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's no connection between them as far as...
They're married. Means no connection. No connection. They're married. One body. Just because he forbid the meat, what does it have to do with his wife? This guy says, I did kedushin with you.
But
there's no proof. There's no proof.
The sister belongs to her innocent. They are same blood.
He's saying, that's not the point. The point is, this guy by saying, I did kedushin with you, what he's basically saying is, any of your relatives I cannot marry. What happens if a guy comes over to a woman out of the clear blue and says, I make a neder that any of your relatives I cannot marry? Is he allowed to marry them?
No, because he made a neder.
Can she marry his relatives?
Okay, fine.
He's saying, I married you. I did kedushin. So he basically is saying, all your relatives I cannot marry. She never agreed to that. She says not true.
Okay, so it's din neder. It's not din.
Shavya anafshe chaticha di yisura means a person places upon himself something forbidden, even though it's not.
But in this case, she's not losing anything. The first case, when he says that, you know, you're not a virgin,
no,
she's losing.
What's she losing?
She's losing him as a husband.
And a bad name. She's going to have it.
So, when he says, I did kedushin to you, she's also losing.
Who?
Oh. The Gemara Taka says he can't. But what should that matter as far as him forbidding something on himself?
But this guy asked.
The difference over here, the Gemara is going to answer a different answer. By the woman, he says, I did kedushin with you. He's definitive, he's definite. Here, he's not definite. He says, I assume that you committed this after we got married. That's what Gemara's answer. You can't learn out from that braisa that because a guy says, I did kedushin with you, he's also for all her relatives. Because over there, he's saying it definitely.
Here is definite also.
No! He does...
Yeah,
but does he know when it was?
But he's definite.
He's not definite. He says it could be. He says it could be afterwards. There's no proof.
In his mind.
If there's proof that she did it, then she gets killed. He's saying, I think it might be afterwards. So the Gemara's question is, but it's a Sfek Sveika, so it's anyway not Asid. So the Gemara says it's only one Suffolk. But the Gemara answers like this. Maude Tema over there is different. Hasam Vade Kimle. Over there he's saying definitely I did Kedushim with you. He knows, as far as he's concerned, it's definite. Hacha, over here, Mekum de le Mekumle. He doesn't know. All he knows is there's an open door. Pesach Pesuch Matzasi. Did it happen before? Did it happen afterwards? That he doesn't know. So Kamash Malon said, Rabbi Elazar teaches us that even if it's not 100% definite, even if it's not 100% definite, it's an assumption on his part, it's still forbidden, because Shavi Anafshe Chaticha the Yisur, he still makes himself forbidden.
This is the last part. Could you? Avol hacha mikam
hu. Make him hu delay kimle. He's not definite. He doesn't know when it was. He just knows Pesach Pesuach, but he doesn't know if it was before or after. He doesn't know. Okay.
Did I mention David and Bush, King David and?
We're Hunter? Not there yet.
Coming up.
What we had that before.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
huh?
After age 3,
if she was what? No, because she's under Bas Mitzvah.
Right.
If a married girl, 9 years old, 10 years old, yeah? Married. Father was Mikabel Gedushin, yeah? And she committed adultery with an 18-year-old. Willingly. Who gets killed?
18-year-old.
The 18-year-old. She doesn't, she's a ketana, she's a minor. Right? What happens if a 12-year-old girl, bas mitzvah, has relations with a 10-year-old boy, a married 12-year-old girl, yeah? Has relations, znus, with a 10-year-old boy, she gets killed, and he doesn't get killed because she's a gedayla and he's a kata.
Are they both minors?
No, 12 is an adult halacha for a girl, bas mitzvah.
But in today's age?
Not today's. Who cares about today's age? According to Torah, 12-year-old is an adult for a girl and 13 for a boy. Okay, let's learn a little piece more of Gemara, and then we'll see what's going with the Rashi and the Tosis here. So Gemara says like this. Me, I'm a Rabbi Lazar Hochi. Did Rabbi Lazar really say this? That a woman becomes forbidden and his knowledge. But I'm a Rabbi Lazar, but the same Rabbi Lazar says a different thing. Ein oish in nesera salbaila, a woman cannot become forbidden for the husband. Elal iske kinu yastira, only through acts of warning and seclusion. A saita. Meaning like this. Rabbi Elazar says, obviously if there's two edim that a woman committed adultery, it's not a question. But if there's no proof, if there's no proof that a woman committed adultery, Rabbi Elazar in this new Gemara says, the only way a woman could become forbidden for her on her husband, if he warned her. Like a saita, right? He warned her, and then she was secluded. So even though there's no definite proof, so at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would drink the water. Right? Didn't know if she's innocent or guilty. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, if a husband accuses, warns his wife, I don't want you being alone with that guy. Okay? And then there's an Eidah testifying she was alone with that guy. She's also forever on her husband. So the Belazar says that's the only way, without definite proof, that a husband, a wife could become forbidden on the husband. If he warned her, and there was seclusion. Look at Saita. So Gemara's question is, but here we have another case. He says, Pesach Pesuch Matzasi. She's also forbidden on the, and there's no kinui. He didn't warn her. There was no nistara, there was no seclusion with the guy. So Gemara's question is, how could Rabbi Lazar say that if a guy says Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, I found that I think she committed adultery, it's also for him. With the same Rabbi Lazar says, the only way a woman can be forbidden for the husband is only if there was a saita, if he warned her and she stayed and she was secluded with the guy. So obviously there's another case, and Rabbi Lazar says it's only one case. The only way a woman could become forbidden for the husband is only through kinu yastira, if there was a saita, warning and seclusion.
But this is only the first day of the marriage.
Yeah, but he could have warned her before and after the kedushin. Saita starts from the kedushin, not from the wedding.
Before.
But he didn't. There's no warning here. He just comes and he says, Pesach Pesach Matzasi. So Rabbi Lazar says, even though there's no definite proof, she's also to the husband. So Gemara asks, but Rabbi Lazar himself says, you must have kinu yastira, you must have a warning and a seclusion. And Gemara says, Ukamaisa Shahoya, like the story of David and Bathsheba. Over there, okay, the Gemara is going to. This is what the Gemara thinks. David HaMelech lived with Bathsheba after Uriah Hittite, her husband, went to war, but he was still alive. Okay, and she was warned.
She was warned.
We'll soon see. Okay.
What?
Huh?
What? She was warned.
Not to be with anybody else.
Her husband warned her.
Well, the Gemara thinks now, that's what the Gemara is thinking now, Uriah Achita warned her, and she was with David HaMelech, and therefore she became forbidden. So right away, Gemara says, it's not true. But Tizbet, that doesn't make sense. Number one, Maisa Shoye Bikinu Yastirava. There's no warning and seclusion from Uriah Achita, her husband, to Bathsheba. And another question is, Miyasru, Bathsheba never became forbidden to David HaMelech.
But she was married to him. She was married to someone else. But
the Gemara is going to explain she wasn't. Let's get the story straight over here. Okay? Let's tell the story, not from the movie, but from the original text.
There was a movie?
You would have to warn her.
There was a movie made.
Right.
A long time ago.
Right.
That's the issue. We learned that in Gemara Shabbos. David, whatever, wanted the test. Hashem gave him the test. He wanted Bathsheba. So David HaMelech sent Uriah Chiti to the front of the battle. Afterwards, he lived with Bathsheba. He deserved to die anyway, but okay. So David HaMelech sent to the front. After that, before Uriah Chiti came, while he was still alive, David lived with Bathsheba. Okay?
He was still alive.
Yeah.
It says he died in the battle.
He died, but David HaMelech lived before he died. Now, Leperl, David HaMelech ended up marrying Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech. Right? So David HaMelech ended up marrying Bathsheba. So obviously, the Gemara wants to say that through Kino Yestido, like it was by David and Bathsheba, so therefore, that's the way the wife becomes forbidden to the husband. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, let's get the story straight. Number one, there was never warning from Uriah Chiti. Secondly, what do you mean? Bathsheba was also, David HaMelech married her afterwards. How could she be also? So obviously, 1 minute. Obviously, what David HaMelech did wasn't wrong. Because if a man lives with a married woman's wife, right?
Married woman's wife?
A married woman, she becomes us to him. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara says, Holy Kasha, that's not a question. Okay? So he says, Ein Oisha, what he means is, Ein Oisha Nesersa Bail Aliski, El Aliski Kinestira, Maisa Shahoya, where do we learn it out from? Because David and Bathsheba were not forbidden for each other. Why? Because there was no warning. So from there we learn out that if there was a warning, it would be forbidden. The Gemara thought first that the woman is forbidden for her husband, like Bathsheba was forbidden for David because there was warning. Mm-hmm. So Gemara said, 1 minute, there was no warning, she wasn't forbidden, he married her. So Gemara said, no, that's not what he meant. He meant that a woman is only forbidden for her husband if there's no definitive proof. Only if there was kinu yistida. Where do we learn this out from? From the story of David and Bathsheba. David was allowed to marry Bathsheba because there was no kinu yistida. From there we learned that if there would be kinu yistida, if there would be warning, there would be forbidden.
Why we have to learn
from the
Bathsheba Torah? Sota, it's also we learned from there.
Huh?
We learned
it from Torah. Why we have to learn it like all the way around?
Can I ask you a question now?
What?
David, he sent his husband to die on the battlefield.
Right.
Isn't that wrong?
No.
It's not wrong?
No.
Why?
Because Uriah Hiti was supposed to get killed anyway. Who told me that? My mother-in-law.
Who said that? Who figured that out? God said, okay, then he has to get out here to die? Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's in the story, just like the explanations of the story. The real story happened like this. David HaMelech never lived with a married woman.
Yeah.
Okay, there's two issues over here. How could David HaMelech, who is such a tzaddik, send Uriah Hiti to the front to get killed?
Yeah.
Okay, and if you just watch the movie, which I didn't watch, or read the books, it sounds like this. David fell in love with Bathsheba, so he wanted to marry Bathsheba, so you have to get rid of the husband. So he sent him to the front to get killed, and then he would be able to marry Bathsheba. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's not very nice. Okay? Number one, it's not very nice. And secondly, David HaMelech lived with Bathsheba before Uriah died. So what happened over here is like this. There's two things. Number one, the Gemara says, and the Gemara mentions it here a little bit, but more in Gemara Shabbos, that Uriah Hiti was murdered by Malchus. He rebelled against the king. Why? Where was he rebelling against the king? Because in David HaMelech's presence, he said, Adoni Yoyov, my master Yoyov. In the presence of the king, there is nobody else. You don't say Adoni Yoyov in the presence of David.
What does Yoav?
Yoav was the general.
So what does
Yoav and Tsruya? Uriah was talking to David HaMelech, and when he was speaking to David HaMelech, he said about Yoyov, the general, Adoni Yoyov. So that made him Alpidin murdered by Malchus.
So he was already dead.
So David HaMelech Alpidin was supposed to kill him. Okay? Uriah Hiti was Chayiv Misa for saying, Meir B'Malchus Chayiv Misa, right? Now, David HaMelech, instead of killing him, was a nice person. So he said, let God run the world. I'm going to send him to the front. If he gets killed, that means Hashem wanted him to die, and if not, not.
So what, did he have relations with
B'Malchus? 1 minute. That's it. There's two issues over here. There's why did he send Uriah Hiti to the front? Because Uriah Hiti was murdered by Malchus. So he was supposed to die. David HaMelech Alpidin could have taken a sword, chopped off his head, and finished.
Because he was...
Then, as the Gemara says, in a few lines, that the Gemara says, Kol hayeita lemelchemes beis David, this is what the Gemara says in Shabbos. Kol hayeita, and the Gemara brings it down here also. Kol hayeita lemelchemes beis David, kesev get krisis liishtei. David HaMelech learned from his father Yishai, and we'll soon see the Gemara over here says an interesting story with Yishai. David HaMelech learned from Yishai that when soldiers go to war, they first went and divorced their wives. Rashi says al tanai. We'll see Rashi and Taisus here. Rashi says on a condition, and Taisus says it was not a condition. Okay?
What was the condition?
No. According to... let's first get this. So David HaMelech made... that whenever, where did David HaMelech learn? The Gemara is going to say an interesting story. Yishai was the baby. He was the seventh son, he was the baby. Yeah. Yishai's other oldest children, David's brothers, went to war. Shaul HaMelech was war with the Plishtim. So he said to him, I want you to see how they're doing and bring them a Sarubasam. And the Gemara says, I want you to make sure, bring them a get that they should give a get to their wife.
That's what Yishai said.
Yishai said, make sure your brothers give a get to their wives. Why? Because if they don't come back, then the wife stays in a guna. They didn't have the information like we have today. Yeah, if a guy was killed in war, and he didn't show back, he didn't come back home, so the wife stayed in a guna. Okay? So David HaMelech learned from his father Yishai, a very good idea, that whenever the soldiers went to war, they did a get before they went to war.
Does that happen today?
No. They wrote a get before they went to war. Rashi learns, the get was given on a condition. What was the condition? If I don't come back by this and this date, then the get's a get. So therefore, if he came back, she didn't have a get. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and Tosfos says that it was not on the condition. Because Tosfos asks a question, we'll see later, Tosfos asks a question, if it's on a condition, then when Uri Achita came back, then she was still an Eish Yisish. So how did David HaMelech live with her? So David learned without a condition.
But he came back?
Huh?
He came back
and then he went back and was killed. See, according to Rashi, he learns the way he does. Because if a guy just gave a get to his wife, then other men are going to get her. So she's divorced, she'll go marry somebody else. No, Cain didn't go to war.
What does Rashi do with the case with David
HaMelech? We'll see how Rashi answers it. But that's the taste. The next page asks in Rashi. Huh? It doesn't say that.
It brought him back.
The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kol ha'emer David HaMelechaita eina elotaya. That's what the Gemara says. Whoever says David HaMelech sinned is wrong. Eina is making a mistake. David HaMelech didn't sin. And the Gemara says, why? Because Kol ha'yetzel mochem is based David, kesev get krisis liishtei. Whoever went to fight, the Gemara says in Shabbos. The Gemara quotes it here. I'm Shmuel ben Achmeini.
Then morally was good because David wanted that wife. Maybe legally it's okay, but morally,
that's why on David HaMelech's level, Hashem called it a sin that he did tshuva. Right. Yeah, but legally he didn't do anything wrong.
Then,
yeah, no,
that's why his first son died. It's a punishment.
It's a punishment. Whatever. Without in all the inyanim of it, on David HaMelech's level, it wasn't what he should have done.
But what's so great about Bathsheba? That
she was very pretty.
Well, she was pretty or just dumb?
She was a very great woman. She was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech.
No, before that, he knew that.
She was
that
a very great. David HaMelech married Michal Bas Shlomo, Michal Bas Shaul. I mean, David HaMelech had very great wives.
Abigail.
Huh? Had
good taste.
It's good taste.
Maybe that's why Shlomo got the gem and got married a lot of women.
Maybe. But David and Melch are only six.
He's learning Gemara Sanhedrin.
Huh?
18, no?
No, the Navi said, if it's not enough, I'll meisach kahena v'chahena. The question with pilakshin, without pilakshin. Yeah, that's what the Gemara said.
Cool, but only
at
six?
At six.
Only six.
The Gemara mentions all the six. Remember, we looked at Sanhedrin, where I asked to go through the whole thing over there. What? That's why the Arabs have so many kids. Not anymore. And I was in Israel, they said now the Arab population is 1.6. They cut down the kids.
1.6 families?
No, 1.6 kids per family.
And the Arabs?
What happened?
They're cutting down.
It doesn't look like in Beverly Hills. They're still walking around with a whole bunch of kids, you know. I've never seen something. Where did it come from?
from Saudi Arabia.
Come from Gaza, they ran away.
So many, a lot of them have. A lot of them have. Visiting. Tourists.
There's a lot of them on Rodeo and Beverly Drive. They just...
Those are the rich ones from Saudi Arabia.
That's all from Saudi Arabia, those people.
Ones there,
right? Yeah.
Well, and they're all women.
And their husbands.
It's like one guy. Not necessarily the husband. The
women
sons.
Recognize
the
Arabs. Maybe don't.
Who doesn't?
Okay, whatever. Okay, so the Gemara says... Mikomukim Kashi, it's still a question. Why? Because Kini Yastira ain't. What did Rabbi Lazar say? Only Kini Yastira can forbid a wife for the husband. Yeah? And Pesach Pesuch Loi, but not another case what Rabbi Lazar said about the Pesach Pesuch. And here Rabbi Lazar says there's another case that you can forbid a woman. So Gemara asks back, Olidach Elu Tamech according to you. It doesn't make sense. Also doesn't make sense. Why? Witnesses don't. What do you think? What did Rabbi Lazar say? Only warning and seclusion could forbid him. Yeah? And Edom not. If two Edom came, she committed adultery. For she, she's forbidden. Well, what does he mean? Elohim, this is what Rabbi Lazar meant. Eino isha naseres al baila beit achod. A woman can never become forbidden for the husband based on the testimony of one witness. Only with two witnesses. The kinu yastira, and if he warned her and she was secluded, afilu beidachod nami, even with one witness. Meaning like this: if one witness comes to a man and says your wife committed adultery, one witness comes and says your wife committed adultery, she does not become forbidden for the husband.
Just that it does.
No, if there's kinu yastira. If there's two witnesses come and say a woman committed adultery, that's for sure, she's out. He says, but if there's one witness together with Kinu Yustira, he warned her, and then the one witness found her alone with that guy, so then it also forbids her. In addition to this, Upesach Pesuach, this case of Agamar, Kishnei Edom Dami, is like considered like two wives. I mean, two witnesses. But not again, not about the Ksuba, but because he's certain, and he says, I know for sure she was Mezana because she's not a Psulan and it had to be after the time of the Kedushin, so then for him, it's like two witnesses.
One witness not warning, does she get killed?
No. No. A woman cannot get killed based on one witness.
So, because he's concerned, two witnesses?
For himself to forbid.
I mean, he himself is...
What's stronger? Okay, this is off the topic, but this is on the topic in the depth of this. There's nothing stronger than two witnesses, correct? Yes. Strongest thing is two witnesses, yeah? There's something stronger than two witnesses. Huh?
Someone say himself at himself.
Yeah. If I say, I owe you $1,000... I say, oh, you $1,000. And two witnesses testify, you don't. Okay? He says, I owe you $1,000. Witnesses said, no, you gave it back. We know you wanted to, and you didn't. Whatever. Yeah? Does he have to pay the money or not? Two witnesses say, no, you don't owe him the money. You don't owe him the money. And he says, I owe you the money. Yeah. So the din is, he does bal din, kameya edim. Taisa says in the Gemara, it doesn't mean kameya edim because 2 and 100 are equal.
Yeah.
It means it's even stronger than edim. Okay? And there's a whole ksais explains why l'cheid is it stronger than edis. Is it it's a neder, is it chiyuv? If it's,
so why don't we bring that here?
One minute. So that means to but obviously, if two witnesses say you owe him the money, and he says I don't,
cancel each other out.
If two witnesses say I owe you money, and I say no, I don't.
We just said
I'm asking,
do I?
When you obligate yourself, Right? Now, when the guy says Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, what's he basically saying?
Well, he's not obligating in this case.
He's forbidding her on him. Two witnesses say no. There's no witnesses. But he says, this is what Rabbi Elazar is saying over here. Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, because Shavya Nafshech Haticha Deisura, he's making this strafe, right? By saying Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, it's like two edim that forbid the wife to the husband. In other words, Gemara is joining both statements of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, both statements together means as follows. One witness cannot forbid a woman to her husband. Two witnesses could. Right? When could one witness forbid a woman on her husband? If there was kino yestida, if there was warning and seclusion. And then he adds, over here, that if the guy says Pesach Pesuach, that's like two witnesses, and then he's believed. Why? Because he's forbidding upon himself, he's obligating himself, like by the money. He's obligating himself, that's like two witnesses.
But it's not exactly the same.
Why?
Because in the case of Isha, maybe he wanted to get rid of her, he said, what? I didn't find her enough, so he said lie. And in a sense, so it's a nogea bedovar in this case. Because, you know, I don't want to be with her anymore, and she wants to live
he has
with
to give her a get. He has to give her a get.
Yeah, but he's not going to get the ketubah if he's...
She is getting the kid.
No, if there is no...
She is getting the kid. That's the whole thing. That's the Rashi said. She's so still going to get ketubah.
But Subi, she still gets.
She gets.
Sure. Because maybe she got hurt.
No, because it's only his word.
Yeah.
Okay. His word can obligate him. Not get him out of the obligation. He has a chiv to pay ketubah. Right? He has an obligation to pay ketubah. His statement can't free his obligation. And there's no proof that she was Mizana. If two Edim came and said, yeah, she was Mizana, she doesn't get the Ksuba. He still has to give her a get, by the way. She still needs a get. But she loses the Ksuba. Shavya Nafshech Haticha D'Yisura means, when I say something is forbidden, it's like two witnesses made it forbidden. If I say I owe $1,000, even if I don't, it's like the two witnesses that I do.
In the case of Sota and Chumash, there was a witness?
But that's the whole machoik, it's the beginning of Seite. Kini api echad, api shnayim, the whole machoik, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua.
So the same Rabbi Elazar?
Yeah, no, that was a Tanis and Amir. But it means, if he warned her in a way, that it's going to forbid her, even with one witness. What?
By Seita, it's the only exception we believe one witness because it's
Raglaim
Adover.
Right.
It's what? Oh, Raglaim
Adover. Raglaim Adover means it's probably, it's a probability.
He's claiming for sure that he knows for sure that she did that.
Right. He has no proof, by the way.
I know, but for himself he knows for sure either. What about if he has a doubt? He doesn't when this happened.
Then it's not also for him.
But
his whole thing over here, he says Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, that and it's after the wedding. After the Kedusha. let me take that back. When he says for sure there was a Pesach Pesuch, because there's only one doubt, and the Safik Menatay al-Khumra, even if he has a doubt, he said the fact that he says it would make her forbidden for him. If it's a double doubt, then the Maritaka says it wouldn't be awesome. Why is it awesome? Because there's only one doubt. And he's saying with definite statement, she's not a psula.
Right.
And because it could be before, it could be after, so he's forbidding himself.
But can they go out and find out what exactly happened?
How can they find out? It's speaking, there's no proof. If there's proof, this whole Gemara is not relevant. You're speaking, there's no proof. If there's proof with two edim, then what's the question?
No, if she would come out and say, I did this is this stuff.
She's not believed.
She's not believed.
Nope.
Wait a minute. If she says she's done it, she's not believed?
Only to asser herself and her husband.
We just said that.
To asser herself and her husband. If a woman comes to Beth and says, I was Mazana, do you kill her? No. Can she stay married to her husband?
No.
Oh, no.
I'm asking you.
But you're not believed to incriminate yourself.
No, we just said you can. If you do it, it's Kemal Dami. Kemal Aydin Dami, no?
It's Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah. She basically, by saying I'm Mizana, we don't believe her. That's why you can't kill her.
Because maybe she just wants to get out of the relationship.
But she basically said, my husband is forbidden for me. Because by saying I was Mizana means she can't stay married to her husband. That we believe her. Because she made something like the man, forbidden on himself. She took this piece of kosher meat and set it straight. But she can't be punished because there's no proof. And she's not believed to say that she did an Aveira. But to say Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disorder, she believed.
Can I get married to a kohen? No?
Maybe she wants to get married. I mean, she wants to get divorced. The other one give her divorce. She used this to get out of the marriage.
Still, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disorder.
So she can get a divorce or she cannot?
She has to get a divorce.
So he's right.
Oh, we
the what?
You get out of a relationship like this if a guy doesn't want to give a get.
He's still not going to give a get. What's the difference?
Oh, but just he can't have any interest. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought we learned the opposite there.
The what?
You don't incriminate yourself if somebody says you don't believe him.
Yeah, so I'm saying if she's not believed to say she committed adultery, but she's believed that her husband's forbidden for her.
Yeah, but she still gets out of marriage. She wants to marry somebody else.
Unless if the woman says, I was forbidden before the marriage. That she's not believed. A Kohen can't marry a woman that lived with a guy, correct? Yeah? So if a woman before she was married says, I lived with a guy, can she marry a Kohen?
No.
As she's not believed to say she sinned.
Chaticha.
Because she made himself a chaticha di isura.
Correct?
One second, yeah?
Yeah?
So if a woman says before she was married, I was with a guy, she can't marry a Kohen. What happens if the woman married a Kohen, and then she said, before we got married, I lived with a guy? Then the Gemara says she's not believed. Why?
Her eyes
because Shemanasa in the Bach, maybe she wants to marry somebody else. So she came out with an excuse from before. There's a difference between believing to punish her or believing that she forbids something on herself.
Right.
When the man says Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, he's not believed to punish her. The ksuba she's going to get. Killed, she's not going to get. But basically, what did he say? You are forbidden to stay married to me. If the woman says the same thing, it's the same thing. Huh?
She says she was
no.
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 When the rabbi asked that question before,